Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Cassie. Hey, Darkhearts.
Hey, forgot what we were doing for a second there. We even just talked about, okay, we're starting and here we go. So yeah, welcome back. Thanks for taking a week off with us. It doesn't feel like it's been, when I was researching my case, I was like, I feel like I just did this, but then I was like, no, it's actually like, it's been what, a few weeks now, I guess, yep. Since I did one, because time flies. So
yeah, we're already mid-March and I don't know where the time has gone.
Yeah. Turns out time was flying by so fast. We just forgot that it was our 2-year anniversary.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Sure did. I text Shannon this morning. I was like, hey, so we totally missed our 2-year anniversary. It was the 8th of March.
Yeah. So happy 2-year anniversary to us. 11-ish days ago, whatever day we are at today. Yeah. But yeah, that's wild.
I know, but it doesn't feel like 2 years, but then also like now this will be episode 95.
I know. So we have to do something fun for 100th, but
I know
that gives us a few
weeks.
We need
to discuss that.
Yeah. We'll figure that out. We'll discuss. Yeah. But yeah, that's insane. 95 episodes. That's a ton, you know?
Yeah. And 2 years, like, holy shit. It doesn't feel like it's been 2 years that we've been doing this though either.
I know. It really doesn't. And that's a good thing, I think, because I'm not sick of it yet. You know, like you always hear like, oh, you're going to burn out or you'll hate it. No, I still love it. So.
Well, the nice thing is, too, is like it's our podcast. And if we need a week off like we just did, then we can do it. We don't have any corporate people paying us, which, hey, corporate people, if you want to pay us to produce this podcast,
yeah, then we're fine to not take any weeks off. We promise. So we'll do it through everything. We'll do 2 a week if we must, if we're getting paid to do it.
Yeah. But until that time, you know, we can kind of do what we want and it's fine.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're back now. And thanks for the last minute switch up, because I know it was kind of a last minute decision. So
it was, but as we've stated many times and we'll continue to state, mental health matters. And, you know, we're human and we got to take care of our own mental health as well. So
1,000%. Facts. So speaking of not facts, I guess I was gonna say facts, but you're gonna talk about a fact later maybe. But what do you got for us today? Like, what's in the news? I feel like we should have some fun, like, what's in the news, you
know? Right, little music thing.
Yeah, but we don't, so I'll just do that.
So I was gonna bring up the Riley Strain case because I have a few cases that I wanted to talk about, but we're gonna talk
there's
about
a lot
one.
Going on. Yeah,
there is a ton going on. I'm going to cover, like I told you already, the other ones that I wanted to talk about next week.
Yeah, that's great.
So yeah, that's my story. But yeah, so Riley Strain is a Missouri college student. He went missing on March 8th of 2024. He was in Nashville with his fraternity brothers. It sounds like I did read one article that said they're looking in to see if he'd been overserved, but then one place said he would served one drink and 2 waters
at the Luke Bryan's bar, right?
Yeah.
But then they're like, well, did they pregame beforehand?
See, and that's just it with a fraternity. And also, like, you probably have people going up and getting drinks for each other and shots and things like that. So it's hard to keep track of. And I mean, you just never know. They're fraternity kids, you know?
Right. They're 20s. Probably scared too, to be like, yeah, we did, you know, this and that. Like, they don't want to get in trouble either. So like,
exactly. Are
they, like, just like with hazing shit, like they're never 100% honest because they're kind of afraid. And I mean, not saying that that's the case here, but
it could be. But it's also college, and like kids are going to experiment with certain things, and like, who knows, like that doesn't mean that, you know, they deserve to go missing or
no.
That the kids should then be punished for coming forward. Like, these are all the things.
Right.
But I did see, so, you know, no one went with him. I read one thing saying, like, because they were closing out tabs, things like that. So they have video of him in a few areas, but that's
it. Makes me sick to watch. Did you see the one with him where he runs into the pool?
Yes, which I'm going to come to that, actually.
Okay, go ahead.
No, you're fine.
Yeah.
But so first of all, I do want to say kudos to his fraternity brothers for immediately searching all the other rooms and calling his parents right away. And then, like,
There really was no hesitation. Like, it wasn't like the next day or anything.
No, like, it wasn't like, oh, he'll show up, you know, right. Like, they were like, hey, this isn't okay.
Cause I didn't, he say to one, then he was just heading back to the hotel. I had read that somewhere. Okay.
Yeah. And like, they just like, he was just supposed to head back to the hotel. And so, the other thing is it was actually a news outlet who got that footage of him running into a pole. Mm-hmm. And so now there's a questioning, like, the police, if they're doing a good enough job, because then it was TikTokers who found his debit card mm-hmm. by the river. And they were like, why wasn't this searched? Why did you wait right. until why several days take- after? Yes.
It
and
was literally almost like a week, wasn't it? Found it.
And then they're also like, you know, and those TikTokers, they were like, there was no rope. Like, he was heading in that direction. So it's like, why wouldn't we have checked it? Like, if it's not that far from there that you could walk, why was this not our first look? Especially because they did find a body in the river, but apparently it doesn't match up with him. So I'm like, how are we not looking at these things?
I know.
And not to mention, it was the store owner for the video of him running into the pole. He released it. The police had never, I don't know if they finally have, but they hadn't interviewed this man.
Yeah, wasn't he, this was like an escape room or something I read, right?
Something like that, yes.
Where they just like gave the footage like, hey, isn't this guy? Because isn't he, he's like really freaking tall.
I read yeah, he's pretty tall. Let me see if I can
find his... He's like 6'2 or something at least.
I'm trying to see if any of the stuff
skinny,
tells
like.
Me. He's really tall and skinny. Because that's the other thing. Like, he could be a little bit of a lightweight, you know,
right.
how skinny he is.
Well, that's what his mom said, like what I had seen in interview where she said something about like, he would be hard to miss. He's a very tall, yes. skinny guy.
Yes. And,
like, I mean, I feel like I worry that he maybe, yeah, just fell into the river.
My or thing is or... if he fell into the river, I suppose it could have taken him down river.
It depends on how heavy the current is.
Yeah, and, yeah, that's my thing. But like, one, why didn't we search the river right away? Why didn't we search right. that area? I kind of wonder though too, if maybe there is foul, because now they're not even treating it as suspicious or anything mm-hmm. like that, not as a potential foul play, nothing like that. And my thing is like, I feel like if he had fallen into the river, I feel like we would have found more than just his debit card.
Yes. And it's weird that was there. Like, did someone like rob him? But then we're just like, I don't want to use his card because, you know what I mean? Like, they just took cash.
And I feel like,
no one could link to the name.
I feel like at this point, his body would have been found if it was an accidental drowning or something.
I agree. I thought the same thing. I mean, yeah, there's cases where I know there's like a lot under the water you can get tangled up in, but like,
yeah,
I also feel like if it was, yeah, accidental, how would you get that far down? Or like, I don't know.
I just have so many questions, but again, it's like, okay, maybe he did accidentally and the debit card, maybe he just had it in his pocket instead of a wallet and it right. slipped out. But then again, it's like, why didn't the police search that immediately?
I know. I don't understand that either. And I, like, when I saw that video of him running into that pole, like, it made me sick to my stomach. I'm like, why is nobody helping him? Which I guess you're in a city, but well, like, but what the hell is like, wrong with people? There was tons of people around.
There was also police body cam footage that had caught him yes. that night too. That again, they took several days to release even.
I know. I thought the same thing. I'm like, why are we just now hearing about this where he like said hi to an officer and all that stuff too?
And how
did you hear that one?
Yeah. Is that well, my question is like, okay, if we got this on the footage and stuff, like the cop didn't notice this clearly intoxicated person and didn't think to stop them and be like, hey.
Right. I know. And then I read some stuff where people were all pissed at Luke Bryan. They're like, why is he not doing anything about it? I'm like, it's not even like, what is he going to do any different? Yeah. Just yeah. because it's his bar, like, you know, that's shitty because it sounds like yes. the bar didn't overserve him on their part. They don't know, obviously, what
and like
so-and-so
said,
was giving to
last-
him. And-
Right. I found an article, and this was from a few days ago, I think, that said that they were investigating whether or not he had been overserved at that bar.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, good on them for that. But at the same time, it's like, I mean,
it's a party city too, you know, like you just don't know. And you can't keep an eye on every single person too in a bar to know yeah. who's had what. And I mean, but if he was I mean, it sounds like he left anyway. So like,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they asked him to leave, but yeah. And the thing is too, is like, his stepdad mentioned that like, they didn't have a detective assigned to his case until several days into it too. So I don't know. I feel like the police have really dropped the ball on this case. I don't know what I think. I almost lean more towards like either someone accidentally hit him and then hid the body, you know, or someone, it was a crime of opportunity and someone hit him.
Yeah. And I mean, in a big city like that too, I don't want to say there's like tons of places where there's no like other people, but like in a place that big, wouldn't you think somebody would maybe see something, or like you see some big kid falling into a river, like, you know, but like you just,
I don't know that, but like I said, it'd be so easy if he was that intoxicated for someone to come up to him to see, hey, this is a good mark, and be like, hey, buddy, I'm going to help you get home, put him in a car, and then he's not seen again, which hopefully that's not the case.
I know.
But I just find it, I don't know. There's a lot, obviously, to this case.
Yeah. It's crazy because I had a couple people say, hey, what's your guys' podcast take on this? And I was like, well, we haven't really, like, I sent you an article, I think, when he first initially was missing, but we hadn't had a chance to really talk about it yet. And so that's why I was like, well, we can always talk about that because, like, I don't know. I was like, it's weird. And obviously, more details come out by the day. And so it's kind of hard to like, form an opinion on what happened.
Yeah, but there's still so much I feel like we don't truly know. Like I said, my opinion is the police have dropped the ball on this. I feel like they probably were like, it's frat boys.
Yeah.
In a city. They partied too hard. He wandered somewhere, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I unfortunately think that that is... I unfortunately don't think he's still alive.
Yeah, I feel like... if he was alive, there would have been something. I mean, I don't know. I really hope that that's not the case, but
yeah,
I feel like he would have somehow, I don't know, that's something. Cause I know they said his phone pinged by that park or whatever, by the river. But then I read where they were still trying to get information off his Apple Watch, which I know you have to jump through hoops to get any kind of information from
companies
on that kind of stuff. But that could be more telling too. But
I feel like if he just was drunk and passed out in the park, he'd have showed up, you know? Yeah. And I would hope they've checked
local
hospitals and stuff like that.
I would assume.
And...
yeah. That's what I thought. Like if he had passed out somewhere, like he seemed very either drugged or just intoxicated. And like, did he pass out somewhere? And then did he just like, he hit that pole pretty hard. He could have had a bad head injury. Did he die? But like someone would have found him by now.
I feel like he wouldn't have been hard to find at that point that if it was an accidental death like that. And so like I said, how the river is, I don't know. So maybe he did fall into it and he got swept away. And I don't know, but
yeah, it's sad.
It
breaks your heart. And I feel like there's been a lot of stuff from Missouri lately I've seen, because I think I sent you that other article that you might talk about next week that's like a Missouri thing. And I'm like, what the hell's going on in Missouri? Given this, I mean, he was just a Missouri student, but I was like, geez, like there's a lot. And then there's another kid missing in Nashville right now too, a younger kid. I can't remember his name because at first I thought that's who my friend was talking about when she asked me. And I was like, what is happening? So many missing people and kids. And it's just so sad.
And that's, it's just a lot. And like I said, that case that you sent me, I'm going to talk about along with the Oklahoma case that has happened over a month ago now and stuff that I've just been waiting for more. And that one's getting really frustrating. But I'm like, come on. Like, And like I said, with him, like, you know, I'm not blaming his friends by any means, but this is just a reminder to people, like, especially if you're going out and one of your friends is intoxicated and they get kicked out, make sure someone's with them.
Yeah.
Always keep the buddy system, no matter what you're doing. Stay in pairs, especially in a city you're unfamiliar with. But I mean, I feel like too, as women, we are more prone to doing that because that's a natural, like... thing for us to
know,
but
and
as
I think
guys, I don't think they think about that. They don't think men in general tend to live in the realm of being like, they have no cares about those things. They don't have to think about that kind of stuff. And I'm like, that must be real nice. But
and they probably think like, yeah, we're dudes. No one's going to mess with us.
It'll be fine.
We'll meet you back there. We'll see you out there in a minute. No worries. Yeah. It's like, that's a good wake up call. I think, just in general going out and especially, in a place you're not familiar with, you know, like spring break time and you always hear you've been
drinking or experimenting with other things, you know,
and that's still so young to fully grasp, like, you know, everything that can come along with that. And that's very scary. So,
and you know, a lot of them, I mean, it's Missouri. It's not like it's some big hustling place. So I'm sure, you know, a lot of them have still that small town mentality too, of like, it's fine.
Yeah. And it's Nashville. Like, I mean, people, I think, just think, you know, this is country capital music, you know, music.
But I mean, there's a ton there. Because my husband spent 2 weeks there for training for his job when my daughter was only like a month old. I was a little salty about that. But I mean, listening to all the things he was doing, which made me extra salty because I was like, oh, cool. You get a 2 week vacation. Like, yeah, you're learning. But then you also get to go out and enjoy Nashville.
Right.
Like,
and there's so much. Even if you're not a country fan, like I'm not a big country music fan. No. But like, I think it's just like a cool place to go and tons to do. So. Yeah. I mean, I get why that, they would want to go, but.
Yeah. So that's the case. I guess if, you know, we see more, you know, we'll kind of update with that. But at this point, I don't know. It's really hard to say. But like I said, my one main thought is I don't, unless it's one of those rare cases that he somehow has amnesia and is in like a hospital states away.
Right. Yeah.
But I feel like.
Someone would recognize him, especially. I mean, this is a pretty national case now. And so.
Yeah. I just feel like.
I know.
Yeah.
And I hope they at least do find him. Cause I think about some of these cases with like, you know, rivers and how some people it's like, you just never see him. Cause I mean, it's like, you can't really stop a river and
no.
So I get like searching it would be hard, but it's not like they don't have technology these days to hopefully see something.
They have sonar and divers that they can use to look for things. Like I said, I think it's a little weird that they didn't do that immediately.
I know. I feel like especially with a river, like just how fast they go. I mean, you are going to lose any sort of evidence you have pretty quickly if you don't act on it. But okay. Well,
that's where we're at for Riley.
Yeah. Okay. Well, today we are going to be in North Dakota because we haven't been there for quite some time. It kind of jumps to Minnesota as well. So we're kind of double dipping, but we're primarily the crime is going to be in North Dakota, Grand Forks. Okay. So, okay. We're going to be talking about Drew Katrina Shadeen. Her last name, I have to spell this just because I don't know what the background on this spelling would be. S-J-O-D-I-N. And I was like, that's a very like unique spelling. I don't know what that is.
Scandinavian.
Like, yeah. It's something like, I couldn't even think of how to describe it, but it's pronounced Shadeen.
Okay.
So, Drew was born September 26th, 1981 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And she graduated from, let's try this without dogs barking. It's just how we roll now. They think they're part of the podcast. She graduated from Pequot. Oh, God. I don't know. And she graduated from a high school there. Pequot Lakes High School, Minnesota. We're not going to try that. So she graduated in 2000. She was super well-loved, well-liked. She was homecoming queen her senior year. She was super artistic, loved playing basketball. She did volleyball, golf, just very sporty. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. All the things. She was tall. She looked tall in anything I've seen.
I would say with volleyball and basketball, I was about to buy it. Like, she's either real, real good or she's real, real tall. I mean, not or both, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Being tall doesn't necessarily mean good, but most of the time, yeah. So, she was just, you know, involved in everything. She chose to go to the University of North Dakota in Grand Forks after she graduated. She was studying graphic arts there. She actually was interning through the university's aviation program, which turns out that that's a legit gig because she got to travel like as a benefit of this program.
Nice.
I was like, yeah, why did I never know about this kind of option? Was this an option? Because that's badass.
It's probably like, how they try to get people to go to North Dakota for school.
No, that is fair also. So I just thought that was super cool. So she liked to travel. Just kind of like high school, she was super involved there at college. She was part of the Gamma Phi Beta sorority. And through the sorority, they worked with underprivileged teens. So she did a lot in that thing. What am I saying?
She did a lot within the
sorority. Within the sorority. And she also had two jobs at the same time because she got to pay for school. You know, she was very dedicated and motivated, all while holding a full academic schedule. So
sounds like she likes to stay busy.
Yeah, really. So, you know, and with all of that, she was looking forward to a much anticipated trip. They were going to go to Australia in the spring of 2004. That's kind of what she was looking forward to. So when Drew was 22, she was a senior at this point, and she was leaving her first job of the night, which was at a Victoria's Secret at the Columbia Mall in Grand Forks on November 22nd. I put 2023, but it's 2003. So I was like, wow. Okay, guys, that shows you where I was at there. Also, I would just like to say I worked at a Victoria's Secret briefly in college, and you get some legit benefits working there. So get it, girl, you know, but lots of free stuff, but you have to wear all black. Like you had to have like a blazer and all that. It's kind of funny because I guess I haven't been into a mall in years. I mean, has anyone
I try not to.
I try not to as well. So she was leaving the mall, but after her shift, she actually stopped by a Marshall Fields, which I'm not even sure what that store is. I'd heard of it, but I don't know.
Marshall's.
Okay.
God,
just like a department type store.
Yeah, kind of like, I want to say we have a Marshall's right over here on like 132nd and that like strip area.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
we do.
The Sierra and stuff.
Oh, yeah. There is like there is one.
It's just like cheap, all the things.
Yeah. Okay. So like a TJ Maxx type thing, right?
Yeah. Kind of.
So she stopped in there and she bought a purse for her mom's birthday. You can see her on surveillance. You see her purchasing this. And then she was walking to her car in the parking lot. She drove a 1994 Oldsmobile. Oh my gosh. I feel like, can we just restart this whole episode, you guys? I don't know why I can't talk. It's hard. A Cutlass, and it was red. And I just was like, oh, we had one of those back in the day, but it was white. So anyways, just wanted to point that out. But she was on the phone because cell phones were a thing by now. And she was talking to her boyfriend, who was Chris Lang. So they talked for about 4 minutes, and then their phone call ended kind of abruptly. Prior to the call ending, Chris said that he heard Drew say, okay, okay. And he assumed that she was rushed, you know, she's carrying things out, getting into the car. He said he didn't feel any sense of urgency from her, so he didn't think anything of it. He's like, yeah, she probably just hung up because whatever, she's trying to rush because she had to go to her second job that night still too. So about 3 hours later, Chris gets another phone call from her phone, and he answered it, and he could only hear like static and the sound of the dial pad being typed. So kind of like a butt dial, you know, and he thought that was kind of weird. Then Drew does not show up for her job that night. So she also worked at the El Roco nightclub. I think she was just a bartender from what I read. And she wasn't there, which clearly is not like her when you see how involved and active she is in everything.
Well, yeah, I'm just thinking, when did this girl sleep?
I know. Honestly, from one job to the next to like
to school. Like,
and that's young too.
Load?
Like, yeah. And so the fact that she didn't show up was an immediate red flag. So thankfully, like, they don't mess around. Her friends and, you know, work called the police right away. And the police were pretty like active right away, probably because they don't have a lot going on there either, you know. So they go to the mall and they find her car still in the parking lot, and they also found a knife sheath that was near one of her tires.
Ooh.
So clearly that's alarming right away. They called Drew's father, Alan. He said that he immediately drove to town after he heard that she was missing. He said that he was so taken with emotion when he got to the parking lot. He must have just met them right there in the parking lot at the mall.
Yeah.
he said he just like had a vigil right there and he just like prayed at her car that she would just show up because he knew something was wrong. So, you know, shortly after that, they are able to track her cell phone, like where the second call came from when she called Chris, which is pretty crazy to me because in 2003, like that was a pretty quick turnaround to get something like that. And so it sounds like the police were actually really just, you know, on the ball with it. So the second call that came in was near a town called Crookston, Minnesota. So now, because of that, you know, the likelihood of her being abducted and taken across state lines, they are able at least to call in more law agencies and, you know, get involved in the search. So
is Grand Forks pretty close to Minnesota then?
Yeah. But no, I have a friend whose daughter lives in like Fargo, and I don't know in relation to Grand Forks, but Fargo is like super close to Minnesota because I know they would go over there for different like appointments and stuff. So I guess kind of depends. I'm not familiar
dad, because with her dad driving and meeting them in the parking lot.
Yes, pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And I do think I have it in here later how far, let me see if I can see. I think, okay, no, here it is. I did have it in my notes. Should have just kept talking, but 25 like miles from the mall was where this Crookston was. So I'm not sure where, I know her dad was in Minnesota also, but I don't know where, but obviously.
Yeah, but
I
mean, it sounds like pretty close enough. And like Grand Forks must be pretty close to like the border of North Dakota.
That's kind of what I would assume too. Which I guess, I mean, and it sucks when something like that happens too, but like at least at this point they can call those police there and it's like more bodies. Well, to
and
look,
then,
you know,
if it's crossing state lines, I think then you can get FBI involved, right?
Yeah. Cause then it's like a federal crime. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they immediately start looking in the area too for anything suspicious. And because it is November in the Midwest, everything is covered in snow, which makes it that much harder. But they do actually find one of Drew's shoes under a bridge near Crookston. So that's never a good sign to begin with. It's like she just kind of disappeared into thin air though. And like, I feel like, I don't know if it is too, because this case, I mean, is older and the fact that not as, I mean, super recent activity on it. If a lot of like little details are kind of left out from the main story, but I feel like things like rolled pretty quickly. I mean, from the time that they started looking for her, you know, like I was impressed with how quick they did find at least something.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's several search parties that are looking for any other kind of sign of her, other than that shoe. And while they're all searching, the investigators were looking for potential suspects. And about 4 days after Drew went missing, police received a tip from someone who said that they saw a known sex offender that was shopping in Grand Forks the day that Drew had disappeared. So we'll get into that more kind of too, as far as sex offender registry and that kind of thing later. Yeah. But this man, his name was Alfonso Rodriguez Jr. and he was 50 at the time. So they're like, well, let's at least start there, I guess, because like, that's a very random thing, but I guess like good for this person for noticing him and thinking like, okay, this dude's at the mall. Now this girl's missing. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, so they look at his history and, yeah, this is when they kind of are starting to think that maybe there's like a serial rapist on the loose, because his rap sheet is insane. And it gets me really mad when you see the lack of any kind of, you know, how this is going to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So 1974, he was convicted of aggravated rape and attempted aggravated rape in conjunction with attacks on two women. So one of those victims, Shirley Iverson, she said he assaulted her after she agreed to give him a ride home because she had recognized him as a fellow student from school.
Jesus.
So she said that he held her against her will and she said he sexually assaulted her, and it basically just combined the two worst fears most women have, being kidnapped and assaulted. So, and then in his second assault, he used a kitchen knife to threaten his victim. So he was sentenced to 15 years in one case, and in the other case, sentenced to the Minnesota Security Hospital for sex offender treatment.
Well, it clearly worked so well.
Right. And so the way I kind of took this was that he actually didn't serve any time other than going to this hospital. So that was in 1974. Mm-hmm. So by 1980, he basically strikes again. So to me, I'm like, wait a minute. He was in this hospital this just for what, 6 years?
Yeah.
That's it. And he's out. But he must have been out on like good behavior or however this works, because when he left the hospital, he was able to visit his family. And when he went to visit his family, he actually tried to kidnap a woman and stabbed her twice before she was able to fight him off and run away. Yeah.
That should be an immediate no more freedom for you. You go to jail.
Yeah.
Do not pass go.
Yeah, exactly. And he actually did this time. So, okay. But clearly it's like he has a problem, you know? Yeah. So he
clearly did there's no rehabilitating him. So let's just throw away the key.
And why would you even think like he could visit his family? Like, I get it. Like there's different things that come up and whatnot, but like at the same time, you kind of lost that privilege.
Yeah.
So no.
No, your family can come to you.
I would be pissed if I was that other woman, you know, like he should have never been out.
No.
So he served 23 years in prison after that third assault and after he was ordered to serve his previously state sentence. So he didn't get released until 2003, May of 2003 to be specific. So Drew, this was November of 2003. Mm-hmm. So we're literally talking just mere months apart.
Yeah.
So after investigators can see all of this, clearly there's an issue. So they pick him up and they question him on November 26th of 2003. So he admitted that he was in Grand Forks 4 days earlier because he was shopping for clothes. And he said that he also caught a movie that was playing. The movie was Once Upon a Time in Mexico, just in case you want to know.
I did enjoy that movie.
That's a good one. Yes. So I was like, yeah, okay, solid choice. But okay, so, you know, of course, please kind of look into that. And turns out that movie wasn't even being played at the times that he claimed he went and saw it. So,
dude, okay. Come on, get a newspaper and look it up.
You had 4 days. Like, this is within 4 days of time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, wow. And did he think that they're just going to take his word on it? Like, he's seen the system. He's been through the system. Like, don't
also
be a dumbass.
I question if you are a sex offender, you being able to go to the mall where children and stuff would be.
Also correct. Also alarming. There's so many things about this case, which we'll kind of talk about some of the good outcome that came from it. But mm-hmm. I mean, because you kind of like in cases like this, you have to find a silver lining or it just gets you up, you know, but he's a piece of shit. So that's
I mean, clearly.
Yeah, he's disgusting. And he actually, like, he let the investigators search his car. Okay.
So we're
they found lots of knives in the trunk and in the glove compartment. So once again, in this 4 days of time.
We didn't clear those out.
Nah. So the crime scene and experts were also examining that knife sheath that they had found by Drew's car. They were able to determine that a part of this set that came with a folding knife, it was sold at Menards. Like, this specific kind was sold at Menards. So when the special agent, Daniel Alquist, said when they showed Rodriguez the knife that was associated with the sheath, nope, I'm so sorry. I feel terrible. This episode, I'm like not with it today. I should have had more coffee this morning because I'm real tired. My notes, I clearly typed these up when I was tired. But no, I take it back. So the agent, when he saw the knife that was associated with the sheath, he said you could have knocked him over with a feather because he had just seen that exact knife in Rodriguez's trunk. So it was like dead ringer there.
Yeah.
So Rodriguez gives the knife to the police, but still denies being involved with Drew's disappearance because, you know, that doesn't. Why would that have anything to do with him? He just has the same knife that was right by her car, but it's fine.
And he just happened to be in that same mall, seeing a movie that wasn't
It wasn't playing. Uh-huh. And had just served time for literally, like, the same thing.
And see, this is the issue, is they learn if there's they eventually get to the point, if you keep letting him out, they get to the point where they're like, well, if there's no, if I don't let her live, then there's no one to get me.
Yeah.
Which isn't true, obviously, but that is
that's like the mindset
they go to. And that's why I'm like, yeah, okay, I could go off.
It's really gross. That, I know. This case, like, I actually have had this on my list for a while to do. And I was kind of like, it just, they all really just pissed me off. But this one really pissed me off too, especially because it's always the people that have so much going for them that have someone like this just take it away. So they do a more thorough search, though, of his car after they have this knife now. They do find small blood specks on the rear window and back seat, which were later matched to Drew being positive for her DNA. Alquist said that he believed that she may have been hit in the face or something that caused the bleeding based on the kind of blood they found in the spatter.
Yeah.
It looked like it was something where she had just been attacked. So they at least have enough that they can arrest him at this point. So they charge him with kidnapping because they're still searching for her and any sign of her. And they haven't found anything other than that shoe. So at least he's locked up for the time being. But they continue searching for Drew for 5 months. So, So, I mean, as great as it was that they found something right away and got this like case moving, it sucks because then it's like they're at a standstill for 5 months. And part of that is just being in the Midwest. It's hard to search areas that are frozen.
Frozen.
Yes. And I mean, snow can ruin evidence.
Yep.
It can hide evidence. I mean, it just sucks. So,
and unfortunately, the police probably got, after so long, got to the point where they realized they were looking for a body, not a human, like not a live person.
Because by now, like, well, with him locked up too, you would think, you know, being able to search anything he had, like you would find her or get him to talk. But they finally do find Drew on April 17th of 2004. Unfortunately, she was deceased. They found her in a ravine that was just under freshly melted snow. So she probably just had been covered in snow a good amount of time. This was right outside of Crookston. So Rodriguez actually had lived in Crookston with his mother. So not too far probably from where she was. Drew was naked from the waist down with her hands bound behind her back. She had been beaten, stabbed, and sexually assaulted. She also had several lacerations, including a 5.5-inch cut on her neck. A rope had been tied around her neck, and remnants of a shopping bag were found under the rope, suggesting that a bag had been placed over her head.
Oh, jeez.
Awful. Yeah. The autopsy concluded that she had either died as a result from that major neck wound from suffocation or exposure to the elements. And I was like, all of the above are absolutely awful.
Yeah.
Especially the last one, like exposure. I'm like, I don't want to think about her just being beat and and then, I mean, you know,
all
like,
of it is, all of that terrible. Is just horrible.
Absolutely awful. And I like, I hate even talking about details like that, but like, you just need to know what a piece of shit this human is, you know, like he is a waste of a person. So Drew's dad, Alan, he said it was an absolutely horrible day, but he said it was a day of relief because at least at this point we knew that our Drewzy was no longer with us, which I thought, that not knowing for 5 months, like once again, the closure is just better. At least you have her body now, but hundreds of people had searched for her and hundreds of people attended her funeral. And because of her case crossing state lines, it did become a federal case. So this automatically made Rodriguez eligible for the death penalty, which is fabulous. So he was convicted of a kidnapping resulting in death on August 30th of 2006, which I still think is bullshit. It should have just been charged as first degree murder, but so he actually sat on death row for 15 years. Before the judge who issued the original sentence overturned the death penalty in an appeal ruling. So the judge, Ralph Erickson, he cited numerous factors, including issues with the medical examiner's testimony and a failure by Rodriguez's defense team to pursue an insanity defense. I was like,
he's
no,
insane. There's
he's not
of proof that he's done.
He
this.
Tried he to already... cover it up, and he lied. And yeah. No.
And he clearly, in the first, he spent 6 years in a mental facility, supposedly getting treatment. He's clearly not insane.
No.
Fuck.
I was
you.
Like,
no.
Who paid you off? Because that's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
And after 15 years, I'm like, why are you reopening this wound for this family? So then the federal prosecutors announced they would not pursue the death penalty. So right now he's just serving life in prison without the possibility of parole. And I hope he just...
I hope he's miserable.
I hope he gets beat in prison. So, like, I hope... I don't know. I just... I hate him. That's, like...
That's clearly... like no, he has a history of it. That's not insanity. He knew what he was doing. He tried to hide her body. That's cognitive...
Right.
Like,
reasoning. He probably, like, saw her in the mall, either working, because let's be honest, the Victoria's Secret thing, I think, too. Like, creepo guy looking at lingerie, because clearly he has a lot of addictions to things. Sees this cute blonde, you know, leaving, follows her, waits in the parking lot. Like, I don't... Well, and then another thing, being on a phone, you know, they always say, like, don't talk on your phone in a parking lot, because it's an easy distraction. And... that sounds like that's exactly kind of what happened. And that sucks too. And her boyfriend was like never even looked at, obviously, as a suspect.
Yeah.
But because, I mean, he wasn't even anywhere near that area. But like, it's just so sad. And like, he just preyed on her for no reason. He's just selfish. And then, yeah, I think, you know, like you said, he just thought, I'll just get rid of her. And then no one can even say that I did this. And you're just going to believe my story. But no. So, you know, obviously her absence is felt by everybody and, lots of things happened, however, after this. So her legacy lives on. They set up, you know, a scholarship in her name at her college. And because of this case, the Congress actually named the National Sex Offender website after Drew. So this was when this became a thing. I had no idea that this is when they actually launched this website where you could look up to see sex offenders nearby. Because of this, this could have allowed, I mean, you know, people like check that shit now all the time. And so because of this, now states have to share their data and the people in their systems, and everyone can search this. So this was actually passed in 2006 and it was signed into law by President George W. Bush. So I had no idea that that's where the sex offender registry even came from.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's actually really cool that that came from and it's named after her. I didn't know any of that because, you know, like, not that that necessarily means anything, but like, I mean, in the sense of just knowing who's around you and know who to look for. Like, thankfully, this one person that happened to know who this dude was,
something. How did that one person know, you know? Like,
I know. Was it like a friend of a friend who was like, hey, this dude assaulted my friend? Which, and it's like a busy holiday shopping season, you know, that's probably right before Thanksgiving. And so like, I mean, you know, you think of that and then it's like, those are the kind of things that maybe now where it's like, okay, now that we see you here, you can't live in this area because there's so many kids, you know, within so many miles of here and stuff like that. And so, that was crazy because I had no idea that that even happened because of this case. So, other than that too, you know, of course there's a memorial garden for her in her hometown of Pequot Lakes, Minnesota. And another is planned for the campus and the University of North Dakota, if that is not already done, maybe by now. Drew's father said that he still listens to her final voicemail that she left on his phone and he keeps it. And he just remembers all the good that she brought into people's lives. He said that she had a huge heart, a beautiful smile, and was a fantastic young lady that went way, way too soon. So interestingly enough, they just had a 2020 on this case just in January. And so when I looked it up, I was like, oh, this was like, I mean, a pretty recent episode. I don't know how I didn't see it. So this might be more familiar to people that keep up with those shows because it just aired in January. But it's season 47 of 2020, episode 14 called Missing from the Mall. And so I did watch that and get a lot from that, which was helpful because of it being somewhat of an older case. There was not as much media attention on it.
Yeah.
But it reminds me too of that case in Kearney, Nebraska. For anyone local, the girl that got kidnapped from the mall. Do you remember this case, Cassie? This
would have been the one in Kansas too.
Oh yeah, that Target.
Well,
yeah.
That's Target. Yeah, yeah.
This one they actually made the Lifetime movie. Have you seen it? It's what's his name? No. I can't think of the guy's James. Is it O'Leary? What's his name? The guy James. Oh, James Vanderbeek. Duh. From Dawson's Creek. Uh-huh. He plays the kidnapper in that movie because that one she survives. And I remember that happening because I went to Kearney like for college for a very short amount of time, and I remember this had happened there previously. And so this would have been probably early 2000s as well, where a good girl was abducted and taken far away. And she survived, but it was like the same type of thing. And I was like, that stuff happens a lot. This is another reason why malls suck. So like, just don't go to the mall.
Also, I don't like to go to Westroads because look at how many shootings we've had there within the last like year or two.
I don't even know the last time I walked into that mall, and I refuse to walk into that mall ever because I'm like, anything that's in that mall that I would need, I will just get online because it's scary.
I have gone, but I go on the weekdays because it feels less likely to have anything happen.
And it sucks because it's like, was a good mall. It has like everything there. I mean, all the stores you'd want, but I haven't been in there in years.
Yeah. It's, I mean, they try to revamp it with like their food court and stuff. I'm like, your shit's so overpriced.
I know. It was cool when they first opened. I went there a couple times for the different things and now it's like, nah. And I remember when they opened a movie theater there and it was like the big thing.
Oh, it's so trashy now because a few years ago I rented a theater there for Valentine's Day for me and my husband to see the first Indiana Jones.
I remember that.
And those seats were shitty. Mm-hmm. I was like, I remember when this was the good theater.
Yeah, I remember it too. Seats. Yep. I
remember that they had the first D-box seats and stuff.
I remember going there for all the like Harry Potter midnight releases, the Twilight movies and shit. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't even go near that neighborhood. I'm scared.
Yeah, we saw one of the Batmans in D-Box there and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Nope. Now it's scary. Okay, well, I haven't been there and now I won't. No, malls are scary, man. I'm sure there's lots of other stories like this too, but it's unfortunate that this one ended this way. At least the other one, the Nebraska one, was like a case of survival. So that was a good one. These ones are always hard regardless, but because of this, at least some good came. So that's the silver lining. But so North Dakota, that's what I had.
Okay. But, well, let me pull up here my fact.
Yeah.
So I'm going to actually read you guys a little bit because I had to know more details. Because the first fact I found, it said, did you know ketchup used to be used as medicine? Oh. And I was like, I'm sorry, I need more information on this.
Yeah, what are we doing? Are we applying this to wounds? Are we drinking it?
In the past, tomato pills were said to have the ability to cure ailments like diarrhea, indigestion, and jaundice.
Stomach diarrhea.
So apparently then...
tomato pills, you said?
Let me see. So it's kind of hard to see. Like, it's difficult to trace the origin and history of ketchup, it says. Uh-huh. Except food experts and scholars think that it actually came from China, where it was known as gethup or koship, i.e. fish sauce. Okay. I totally butchered those words, by the way. I didn't see.
You heard
I
me
looked
the
it
whole
up better,
case today.
So.
It's fine. You're off the hook. We're off the
So it was made from fish innards and soybeans and was salty with a pungent smell. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like ketchup at all.
Yeah, there's a lot of sugar in our kind of ketchup.
Yeah. So apparently, finally, in the 1830s, tomato ketchup was sold as a medicine that could cure those ailments that I said. The idea was initially proposed by Dr. John Cook Bennett, an American physician in 1834, who later decided to sell the recipe in the form of tomato pills. So then there were copycats and everything got flooded. And then it, like by 1850, it was no longer considered to be a thing. And then in 1876 is when Henry Heinz, created the ketchup we know today, which he used ripe tomatoes, distilled vinegar, brown sugar, salt, and a variety of spices. And it later gained popularity as a non-medicinal condiment that remains well known today.
Hell yeah, I love me some ketchup.
It depends. There is a shit ton of sugar in ketchup.
There
though.
Sure is. That's why I was like, this is a really bizarre. Like, here, put it on your, take a pill, put it on your hamburger. It's all the same. Just eat a hamburger. Okay. I don't know. That's weird, man.
Yeah.
That's interesting, though. Mm-hmm. I like ketchup. Yeah.
I mean, I enjoy it. My son loves ketchup. That kid will, I will make a deliciously seasoned chicken. I make barbecue chicken.
Yeah.
Okay. And he'll still want ketchup. And that kid will still want ketchup. I was like, listen, if you want some barbecue sauce to go with it, totally get it because it's slathered in barbecue sauce.
Correct.
But now you're going to put ketchup on it?
Nah. That when is was, not okay. Or like
when
steak.
I was pregnant with my daughter, me and my mom took him to IHOP. No, Village Inn. And the kid dipped his pancakes with syrup and all in ketchup. And I almost lost my food right then and there.
No, not okay.
I was like, but we're not doing that, kid. We're not doing that.
Ketchup. No. I like it, but like small doses. Like, yeah. I don't want something that's like slathered in ketchup, you know?
No. I used to put ketchup on my mac and cheese when I was a kid.
No, that's weird, Cassie.
No, I really liked it.
I mean, what do you think a cheeseburger is? That's where your kid. Yeah, okay. But with like noodles, like to me, it's like putting, I mean, ketchup with like spaghetti. But at the same time, I guess spaghetti sauce is a form of ketchup, kind of. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, if you think about it, yeah.
That's fair. Interesting, though.
Yeah.
I don't like it with steak. When people put it with steak, oh, I get my really God. Mad. That's like a major pet peeve. I mean, I don't really know many people that do that. So that's good.
But. No. No, I will say, so there is a TikToker it's I follow. He's the dad who lived. So he makes fun of like fantasy tropes of like Harry Potter and stuff like that. And like the kids and all the things. Mm-hmm. But one time he made a peanut butter and ketchup sandwich. And people were like, please tell me you're not serious. And like, he's been gotten, like, he's made other videos, like people doing an intervention on it and stuff. But like, he's like, sometimes I don't want to get the jelly out. And Sandler's like, you know, they make squeezable jelly now, sir.
I mean, I guess with the amount of sugar in ketchup, it kind of is a fair trade now that we're talking about sugar, but I would never in a million years. I'm just like, no, I don't
know.
I like ketchup on like with French fries and on a hamburger, on my, cheeseburger,
on a hamburger,
but that's
or
pretty
hot
much
dog
it.
Yeah. Or a brat, you know?
Yeah. Nothing really else. I know someone that used to eat their like potato chips with ketchup, and I don't like that either.
I could see that
a little bit more.
I prefer ranch if I'm gonna dip it, or chocolate. A potato chip dipped in chocolate is bomb. You get that sweet and salty.
Can't do it. Like, I could dip a fry in like a milkshake, but like,
yeah, it's the same concept.
I guess I'd have to try it. I mean, I'm not against it, but I don't know that I would go that route. But
oh, it's bomb.
Now I'm just kind of hungry, so that's where we're at with that.
Dang. I know.
Well,
but yeah, so that's okay, that's my fun fact for this week.
That is a fun fact.
Takes ketchup, you guys.
Helps with, basically, it's a Pepto-Bismol, it sounds like.
Right. I don't think, but, yeah, no, I don't know, but okay.
You do you, I guess. That's fine.
But you guys know the drill. Yeah. Like, rate, review, share, follow.
Message us, email us stories, check out our website, submit any good stories you have on there or cases we might not know about.
Yeah. You know, all the things, you guys.
If you have any linked in the things you want to see for 100th episode.
Yeah, give us some ideas on what to do for our 100th episode.
Yeah, because we don't know yet. I mean, we have some time, but also with us, we'll decide the day before. So,
yeah, you know,
that's where we're at.
It's fine. It's fine. Yeah. Right, so until next time, stay heartland kind.
But darkland wary.